Hi, and welcome to the Soul Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Kat Fowler, and today we are going to be talking all about signs that you're going through a spiritual awakening. So the reason I'm doing this is to really start and lay the foundation for the podcast before we jump into interviews. The interviews and the guests that'll be on the show are a huge variety of people from many different spectrums of work and life, and they all tend to be experts in their field. Now, some of the conversations that I'll have with energy healers, shamans, and things like that, there might be some language that they use or some things that they talk about that you've never heard of before. And I mean, the number one thing when that happens is to take a little note and then Google it when you get a chance. So what we're going to do today is really just talk about signs and stages of going through a spiritual awakening, because number one, this podcast is called Soul Awakening Podcast. And number two, when you start to go through that for the first time, it can feel very alienating and alone. And I really want anyone listening to this to know that you're not alone, and every single person on this planet that is starting to wake up or has woken up already has gone through this process, and it can be very earth-shattering and extremely traumatic sometimes. However, it is so much better on the other side. There's so much freedom with living your life authentically. It definitely is a journey. I also can say from experience, the less you resist it happening, the easier it is. The more resistance you have to this journey, the harder it's going to be. And once you start activating, you can't really turn it off. My favorite movie in the whole world to compare to this would be The Matrix. And once you're done with this podcast, I definitely recommend, especially if you're just waking up now, or you are in the middle phases of it, or you've already woken up, just to rewatch that movie, because it is so analogous to a spiritual awakening. Neo, the main character, goes through this whole phase of disillusionment and really realizing, what is this life and what exactly am I living? And then when he sees the truth and he has a teacher that helps him do that, you know, his first reaction is just absolute horror. He gets really sick and then eventually calms down. He wakes up outside of the Matrix and he can't believe what he's seeing, and he's extremely weak because he's never actually used his muscles before. You'll watch the movie if you're not sure what I'm talking about. And so it takes him some time and he has a lot of doubt and a lot of questions. And then eventually, through practice, through seeing the truths of the simulation of the Matrix, and the Matrix is analogous for the world that we live in and the illusions that have been presented to us by society, by the elite, by the governing bodies running the world, then we start to really ask these harder questions, like, who am I and why am I here and what's my role on this earth right now? So once he starts to wake up, and with practice, he ends up really seeing his own power. He ends up owning the fact that what he has seen his whole life is an illusion, and he knows the truth. And then eventually he ends up being able to walk into the Matrix without being affected by it. And we are all Neo. Agents, I think, would represent the people in our life, and not saying that it's necessarily their fault, they're just most likely asleep. And the systems in our life that check us. And as we start to wake up, they say, no, this is dangerous. You're acting totally different. Why aren't you doing these things that we used to do anymore? Why aren't you hanging out with us in the same places you used to hang out with us anymore? This can be from friends. This can be from colleagues. This can be from your own family. This whole, like, what are you doing deciding to go vegan or stop drinking, or what's all this yoga you're doing or all this meditation that you're practicing lately? And it's not necessarily their fault. They're definitely still in the Matrix, as we could say, or asleep. And they're a little bit afraid, because the way that they're expecting you to show up for them, it's not happening anymore. And they're not sure how to respond. And they also know there's this aspect too of when you start to free yourself from the societal constructs that are expected of you, it can literally look dangerous to those who are still conforming on the daily basis to what is expected of them. And when people, there's this, you know, obviously very famous quote, people fear and criticize what they don't understand. So this really tends to happen. And unfortunately, it can even happen from our own family and the people close to us if they're not waking up on the same page. My advice to that is to really just have patience and have compassion for them. And just remember that you were also in the same place at one point. And if you had a friend, maybe you did, who started to wake up, you probably were the one judging and criticizing them, saying, oh, look how weird this guy is now. He's like, you know, doing these retreats and he's stopped watching TV and like stopped hanging out with his friends. What a weirdo. And now you're on the same side and you're like, oh, I see what was happening. So just have compassion for the people in your life or the agents in the matrix that are really trying to challenge you and check you. And a huge majority of the time, that's just them being triggered by seeing somebody that is living their life now freely and not according to the rules that they were told they have to live their life by. And there's something in them that is upset by that because they're not doing that, but they know on a subconscious level they'd like to. So you're probably going to hear the phrase, which is, if you ever hear this phrase from a quote unquote friend, red flag it and know that they're not your friend. I'm worried about you. I could say so much about this. Nobody's worried about you. Truly, if somebody cared, they don't say that statement. They would take action in different ways if there was really something going on. Like if someone had an alcohol problem or something's really going on in their life, somebody that really cared would step in and be there. They wouldn't passive aggressively tell you that they're quote unquote worried about you. The only thing that they're worried about is that the person that they're expecting to show up in their life in a certain way for them is no longer showing up in that way for them. And they're worried about themselves. They're worried selfishly about how that's going to affect their relationship with you and how that's going to affect their daily living. And a lot of the times, the people that tell you that they're worried for you are the ones that were benefiting from you acting the way that you used to act. That can be the person that you kind of used to doormat yourself for, and you were extra nice and you had no boundaries with. And now all of a sudden, when you start to wake up and you see your own worth and you start to have boundaries, they're not going to like that because doormat person is not showing up for them anymore and just doing whatever they want. So you'll probably get the text, I'm worried about you, or you've changed. So always red flag the I'm worried about you BS that you get from people. And just know that, yes, you're supposed to change. If you never change, you'll never grow. And life would be awful. So, yes, you've changed. And I hope that this prepares you for any of those things that come your way in the future. So I've went on a bit of a tangent. I'm going to get back to some signs that you are going through a spiritual awakening. All right. Number one is the strong need to be alone. So when you start to wake up, you really start to reevaluate everything in your life. And in order to do that, you need space. It doesn't mean that you don't like the people that you're with anymore. Maybe that is the case, but you just really need some space. You need some alone time. You need some time for your thoughts. You need some time to journal. You need some time just to like be and breathe. And that means from everyone. That doesn't mean like taking yourself to a yoga class or, you know, going somewhere solitary in a coffee shop. It means like alone time. Like, you are by yourself, whether it's outside in nature or indoors, and just sitting with yourself. That really starts to light up when you first start waking up. That tends to become a priority if it never was. And if you were a very extroverted person, which a lot of us are, you know, doesn't mean that if you're a spiritually awakened person, you turn into an introvert permanently, but you will go through this like very introverted phase. I always compare it to a caterpillar cocooning. That's exactly what a spiritual awakening is. And you need that incubatory phase in order to grow. If you don't have that, you'll especially when you're in this very fragile new place, anything, any little thing can really influence you or take you off course. So that tends to be one of the first signs, is really just this strong need to go inwards and be alone. Number two, you really start to feel a deep connection to nature, or just more drawn to nature. So when you first start waking up, you may have never had this connection before, but you'll find that you have this newfound appreciation for the simpler things like the ocean or the sunset or trees. And you'll feel the need to be around them because it's very grounding for your person just to be in nature, to put your feet in the ground and just be there. It's calming, it's quiet, it's soothing. And that tends to be a real thing. And that can translate into you potentially now prioritizing and making time to do that, taking trips or weekend trips to go somewhere in nature, hiking or, you know, a little weekend beach trip, or even just wherever you live, just going to the local nature reserve or park, because you will find it so soothing and calming. And that might have never been on your priority list before, but that tends to really light up when you start to wake up. So number three is starting to see signs and synchronicities. This is a big topic. So it really isn't just only seeing signs. It's the fact that your perspective is now shifting and you're looking for meaning in pretty much everything. And so when your perspective starts to shift, that same thing that typically falls your way, now you're like, what does this mean? And so seeing signs can come to you in any way. They can come to you and as you're walking your dog and a random person stops you and feels the need to tell you a message. I would take that as a sign, personally. It can be repeating numbers on your phone. Those are called angel numbers. Highly recommend Googling that. And those tend to be your first connection to your spirit guides. Now, spirit guides is a whole nother topic, but your spirit guides, people call it spirit team. You'll hear people say, my guardian angels. We have definitely more than one, all of us. They are energies or very positive, high vibrational beings that are assigned to us as we're born, and they watch over us our entire life and help give us guidance. And everybody has them. Every single person, no matter how good or evil we perceive a person to be, every single person has a spirit team. It just really depends if they listen to them or not, because they're giving you divine guidance on how to live your life and fulfill your life's mission. So signs tend to be your first introduction to the conversation with your spirit guides. This can come in the form of feathers just randomly falling in front of you, animal totems, anything that really catches your attention and kind of strikes you as out of the ordinary and stops you a little bit in your tracks. That's a sign. Or anytime that you're asking a really profound question with a lot of intention, the intention that you really want the truth for the answer, that's when you'll receive the signs. It could be walking into a store and you've been asking that question and the song that's on, you may have never heard it before, but you listen to the lyrics and there's your answer. It could be in the form of a book falling down, opening to a certain page, you read that passage and there you go. So signs happen in all different ways. And synchronicities are also a perspective shift. You don't see things anymore as coincidence. And instead you see it as meaningful. Synchronicities happen when you are aligned and in the flow. And a synchronistic event could mean that typically every morning you walk to work and you go to the same coffee shop and you get the same thing and then you walk to the subway and then you take the train. But on a certain day, you are feeling very joyous, very aligned, maybe meditated in the morning, like whatever, to get you into that state. And as you're walking down, you're just like, I'm going to go to this other coffee shop because the one that I'm going to right now seems pretty full. The line's towards the door. So you walk towards another coffee shop you've never been to before. You stop in. And you see a friend that you haven't seen in years and you guys reconnect. And maybe this leads to a business opportunity or a romantic partnership, whatever, but something very positive. That's a synchronistic event. those start to definitely increase the more that you raise your vibration and are aligned with your true purpose being here. Number four is increased intuition. So your intuition is really your internal guidance system. And for me and for lots of people, it tends to start as coming off as just a little whisper. This is a very positive thing that comes in for guidance, probably in a very small way in the beginning. So that would mean you're walking down the street and randomly you either get a thought or literally you hear, make a left. And you're like, all right, that was weird. Why not? So you do. And then it leads you on another path and in the right direction. It can be meeting a person for the first time and your intuition says, no, don't make this deal. And so you don't know where that came from. You're sitting there in this meeting and everything's going well, but your internal guidance system or your internal GPS is like, no, this is not for you. And you follow it. And then randomly another really great opportunity comes to you, or you've just avoided a big pitfall because the company goes under or whatever it is. This is your intuition. And a good sign that it's working is it will always lead you in the right direction. If you're following the voice in your head that tells you out of fear not to do something, that's different than your intuition. Your intuition, when it comes to you, you'll never feel fearful. Even if it's telling you not to do something, it's a very calming, soothing feeling when your intuition speaks. When it's your doubt or your fear speaking or trauma or whatever it is, you feel anxious about it, and usually the answer wavers. Usually it's like, no, don't do this. And then you're like, yes, but I should. And there's this like whole internal argument in your head that goes on. With your intuition, it tends to be very clear, very concise, usually just once that, you know, you'll hear something or you'll get the thought, and there's kind of no debate. And the way to really get in touch with your intuition is just through practice. Because in the very beginning, it's the discerning between the two, discerning between the voice of fear that you or judgment that you've carried your whole life and your actual intuition can be difficult, because genuinely the voice of fear and judgment tends to be a lot louder. But with time and with practice, following the intuition, yep, that was correct, I avoided the situation, or yep, I got myself into a really positive situation, you'll start to trust it more. So just trial and error, follow your intuition. That can feel like a gut feeling, literally in the stomach region, the solar plexus. It can be like a thought in the mind that you don't know where it came from, but it's kind of guiding you in a way. It can sound like your own voice, gently. It can sound like another voice, but you'll feel very much calm and at ease. It will never feel frightening or fearful, and that's a good sign that that's your intuition. So increased intuition really starts to happen when you start to wake up, and your awareness of it starts to really amplify. So number five is an awareness of your old negative habits. This is kind of the shadow work phase. This is probably the hardest phase of it. You start to look at yourself and evaluate everything. And the biggest journey when you're on a spiritual journey is taking full responsibility for your life. Like, I mean everything. You know somebody is spiritually awake when they are not blaming others for anything. There's one example I recently found that I thought was such a good one. And the question would be, if you're walking with coffee in your cup, you started your morning, you put coffee in your cup, you're walking around at work with your coffee in your cup, and someone bumps into you and it spills all over your shirt, whose fault is it really? And what's really going on there? Because if you didn't have coffee in your cup, what would really spill out? If you had a lid on, would it have spilled at all? What if you had tea in your cup? What if you had water in your cup? Or what if you didn't have coffee at all? And the example is really just to show that whatever's in that cup was going to come out, and the person just bumped it, and you can blame them the rest of your life and say, they ruined my shirt. But ultimately, if there wasn't coffee in the cup, there wouldn't be any of that accident. So it's really taking full responsibility for everything in your life, including your own negative habits, including the things that you don't want to see. The only way that you can change something is the awareness of it and admitting it, admitting to yourself, not lying to yourself anymore, but admitting that you have this flaw, you have this issue. And the reason why this is really hard is because our ego does everything possible to not let us see that and to not let us admit these things, because otherwise it's very threatened and doesn't feel like it can go on. You're going to know this because, I mean, in psychology, just Google defense mechanisms or coping mechanisms. This is the ego's way of really kicking up a storm when it starts to get threatened by the reality of truth. So when you start to wake up, the awareness of your old habits starts to happen and you're not afraid of it anymore. Shadow work is really shining a light on the shadow aspects of your being that you have never looked at yet, that are most likely not positive. It's shining a light on the things that really scare you and the things that you've never wanted to look at. But just know that when you start to do that work, and it can be really heavy, like really, really heavy, and depending on the amount of trauma in your life, it can be helpful to do this with people, whether it's seeing a therapist or really talking it out, can be very helpful. But when you start to work through that and you really see all aspects of yourself, then you walk around with the full knowledge of your being, and nobody can have any power over you at all. Nobody can blackmail you with anything. You know yourself inside and out, and you own every aspect of your being and your past. This involves forgiving yourself as well for a lot of the things that you did that you weren't proud of. Shadow work is looking at all of that. And not only looking at it, because just looking at it isn't going to help, but going to the root of where did this come from? Why did I do this? Why do I have this personality trait? Or why do I repeat these patterns or have this habitual inclination towards a certain situation in my life? Where does that come from? And typically, a lot of our stuff comes from childhood. A lot of the stuff really comes from our unhealed parents. But the role that you take on when you start to spiritually awaken is, okay, I have these from my parents. I don't blame them, because you don't blame anybody, because they were unhealed. They weren't aware. They probably still aren't aware, but I am now, and I'm in my 20s, 30s, 40s, whenever it is that you start to wake up, 50s, doesn't matter. And I'm not a child anymore. And I have the adult brain that I have that can have proper discernment. And I don't need these coping mechanisms anymore. I just want to say, this is something really important to know, that up until the age of 7, your brain functions in a theta wave state. Theta states are when you are able to get hypnotized, when you have lucid or very vivid dreams, when you are in a very relaxed state, for all the yogis listening, like in yoga nidra, and you kind of drift off, but you're still there. And also when you're asleep and dreaming, that's a theta state. Now, until the age of 7, our brains are permanently functioning in a theta state. That implies that everything and anyone around you, especially your parents, and especially the authority figures in school and your classmates, but really your parents, because we rely on them for survival. So anything that your parents or any authority figure says ends up like an imprint in your mind. You do not have the adult form mind to have discernment yet over this is right, this is wrong, I agree with this, I don't agree with that. Whatever mom and dad tend to tell you, that is the truth. And you don't want to question it because your survival depends on it. You don't want to make the big giants angry because then maybe you won't be loved by them or get food from them or have shelter. Like, that's really how a little kid's mind functions. And then we develop these coping mechanisms where we shut off things that we really believe in. We shut off behaviors in order to appease these big people that are taking care of us that we love, because we're programmed in our DNA to love our parents no matter how awful they can be to us, if they are. For those of you that have great parents, great. And it affects the way that we form our opinion of the world. It affects and it forms our personality. And we will take in every single bias that they have, every single opinion that they have on morality. We will listen to and try to conform to what they believe is proper behavior or wrong. We literally will form the people that we are now as adults. And so much of this happens as a child while we're in a hypnotic state. Now, I'm not saying that because of this, blame your parents for everything and move on. No. We are really, when we start to wake up, we are taking full responsibility for ourselves, for our person, for our personality, for our actions, and for our thoughts that precede the actions, because that's a big one. Thoughts are things. Thought is an energy form. And what you think about and what you focus on sends that energy out into the world. So even if you're not acting on something, but you're thinking about it all the time, that is just as powerful because it will start to create the energetic connection and have it manifest in your world. So as adults, like I said, it's not just about blaming the root of why it happened, but it's now reparenting yourself and saying, okay, I know that I compensate or cope with this behavior in this certain way because mom and dad always told me it was wrong to act this way, but I know that now it's not wrong to cry or it's not wrong to express anger, whatever it is that you had to deal with. Or it's not wrong to be spiritual, and or it's not wrong to not conform to the religion that they want me to conform to, or whatever it is. And so you literally have to reparent yourself and learn where the resistance and the conflict in you lies, and reparent yourself to learn that you are absolutely allowed to be your fully authentic self. And whether that's accepted by the people in your life or your family or not, that is not your issue. That is on them if it's not accepted. And so that was a huge tangent, but being fully aware of your old negative habits and where they come from, their root, and then learning how to reframe or reparent or retrain yourself or your mind as to what is acceptable now as an adult, or how on your own terms do you want to live your life if you don't have to follow the things that you were raised to follow. That's a huge part of waking up. So let's go to the next one. 6. You want more freedom and less stuff. You really tend to get a little disgusted by the level of materialism in the world. You understand that there's so much more out there than just this physical. And there's also this big understanding that the physical is never permanent. Nothing is permanent that is monetary or physical. Nothing. And even relationships, the physical body, nothing is permanent except the things that are. And the things that are eternal are your spirit or your soul, connection to God or the universe or higher power, however you want to put it, positive emotions like love that fuel everything. These things are real and eternal and will never, ever go away. What does leave is all the physical stuff. You can have millions of dollars one day and lose it the next. You can have a beautiful home and it's wiped out in a hurricane. You can have a beautiful partnership with, you know, a friend or lover, whoever, and it ends. You can have a huge attachment to your closet and there's a fire. You can love your body and you get injured. And then you really go through, why was I so attached to this stuff in the first place? And once you go through that phase, and usually what happens in the very beginning of the spiritual awakening is the things that we put so much of our identity in and our value on tend to get stripped away from us. And that is when you really get, frankly, a little bit sick of it. And you don't want any part of that. You feel the absolute need to let go of a lot of stuff. I think that's honestly why Marie Kondo's show is like so wildly popular now. I don't think it would have been as popular even just 5, 10 years ago. I think a lot of people, because they're spiritually awakening, they really understand that your energy is tied to the things that you own. And we accumulate stuff for so many reasons. We accumulate stuff because of our emotional baggage, because of identity as an extension of ourselves, because of our nostalgia. We accumulate all these things for different reasons, but then we realize we really don't need any of it at all. And when we go through our closet, we have that little life review where we put everything on the bed or whatever, and we see how much we've accumulated. It can be a little bit shocking. And that really starts to happen whether you watch our show and do that method or not, on a life level. And you don't want to take part in any of that stuff anymore. You don't want to collect more things. You don't need to buy whatever's on trend, because you also realize, like, why am I buying stuff that's on trend? To impress other people? To show people that I can afford this jacket or these shoes? Like, why is this important to me? And the whole monster that is the fashion industry starts to look a little ridiculous to you. I understand the need to express yourself physically in a way that feels congruous to how you're feeling inside. I do understand that. Just like every flower has its own color and fragrance, like every human has the ability to adorn themselves with whatever jewelry or dress themselves in whatever quote-unquote fashion that they choose to show the world, this is who I am. I'm not talking about that. I agree with that. I think every person should feel comfortable to dress and act the way they want to act. What I really think is ridiculous is, like a sheep following a trend just because a magazine or celebrity tells you this is cool or this is in fashion, or a well-known designer says this is what this season is all about. FYI, it's all, you're a consumer. It's just all about consumerism, and it's about taking your money, and you've got to ask yourself, why am I buying a certain thing? What is my motivation behind it? Because I like it, it makes me happy. Does it really after the season's over? Or because this is what everybody else has and I want to let everyone know that I have the same status as them and can afford it, and or I identify with this brand and it's part of my identity. Like that Supreme brand is, it's pretty amazing. Like, you know, people buy it to tell people that they believe in that brand and that they really go for what they stand for. And they've gone from shirts to like, they sell like kayaks and like, they just sell like anything now with that brand on it. And if you like that brand because it represents whatever it is that it represents, you'll just buy whatever they put out to tell the world, this is who I am. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about fashion and the fashion industry, not you expressing yourself and who you are through dress, but following trends and conforming to norms just to impress other people and not doing it consciously. So that's what I'm really speaking to. So anyways, you really move away from things that are superficial and not authentic to you. And it is so liberating to live your life like that. Okay, number 7 is an aversion to negative people and behaviors. A big thing that happens with this is all of your toxic relationships start to break apart. I spoke a little bit about this earlier, but there's this like up-leveling of your frequency, of your energy. And if you've been functioning, let's just pretend like visualize a radio, and you've been tuning into one station your whole life, you've been hearing all those same songs, hanging out with those same people that are all in that same station, they're all in the same frequency, and now you up-level, you switch your frequency. So when that happens, you're not going to align anymore with the people from your past, the people that are still functioning in that old frequency, unless they also have up-leveled their frequency. So a lot of times, and this can be really painful, especially if it's long-standing, but those relationships start to end because you truly just don't have that much in common anymore, or because they really don't support your choices. Like what I was talking about earlier when, you know, someone says, I'm worried about you. They're not worried about you. They're worried about themselves. But these relationships that are no longer working in your highest interest or working on your spiritual path start to fall apart. And it can be hard, especially if the opposite party really is not happy about it. But know that when you take one book off the shelf, you make space for a new one. When you remove anything from your life or you close one door, another one opens. And if out of fear you're staying in line or you're staying in relationships that do not serve you anymore, and a good sign that a relationship doesn't serve you anymore is after you're done hanging out with someone, you feel very drained, or it's always about them. Or anytime you tell them something positive that's happened in your life or an achievement, they are not supportive. They're not genuinely happy for you. These are definitely signs of a toxic relationship and that you're not on the same page with that person anymore. And so much courage is needed on this journey of a spiritual awakening because you're going to have to face your biggest fears. And for some of us, it's isolation or rejection. And it's going to feel like a rejection from these older people, these older frequencies. When they start to tell you like, oh, like, I don't think that's cool anymore. You're not doing this with us anymore. You're not going out after work anymore, whatever it is. And you're going to have to go through being able to withstand that and stand by your new choices to live a life that's more in alignment with who you really are. The good part is that once you start doing those, making those harder choices and setting those boundaries properly with those people and clearing the space, then new relationships start to enter in, and or pre-existing relationships that maybe you didn't value as much, now you value and they really start to deepen. This will genuinely happen, and it happens towards the beginning, but the more and more that you're in line with who you authentically are, the easier this process gets. And eventually you move to the point where you won't even touch a situation where you know somebody is totally not in line with you. You won't even like bother entertaining the possibility of whatever that date or that friendship or partnership, because you already know. You know yourself well enough and you know that you're just not vibing. You're just not on the same frequency. So that's a huge part of the journey. Number 8, you really start to develop your emotional intelligence. So a lot of times during our life, especially in childhood, according to wherever you grew up or who your parents were, we are taught to not fully express or experience certain emotions. And we stifle them and we repress them, usually out of fear of being vulnerable or being told that it's weak or getting in trouble if you get angry or whatever it is. Like every household has its own thing. And when you start to spiritually awaken, you really come to the place where instead of running from your emotions or suppressing them, you sit with them, whether that's through meditation, through journaling, through sitting through this uncomfortable feeling that you've never allowed yourself to feel before. Personally, I really had to deal with this in a hard way because I repressed so much of my childhood trauma and all the emotions that came with that. And then it would surface as very severe panic attacks. The panic that I was not allowing myself to show out of preserving my life and my safety as a child now surfaced as a 30-year-old in severe anxiety and panic attacks. So whatever you've had going on that you've suppressed, maybe it's a lot of sadness and that might surface as depression if it's severe. Maybe that's a lot of anger. And that can surface as being triggered often and having really angry fits for something in a very disproportionate way to the stimulus. Whatever that emotion was that was repressed, it's now ready to come up. And it's coming up because you're ready to work with it and sit with it and heal it, because now you're in a more mature, broader perspective place. You can look at things with some neutrality. And this is the development of your emotional intelligence. Something that really helped me along the way was repeating this mantra, all emotions are valid. All emotions are valid. Now, this is really helpful for people that have suppressed their emotions their entire life. This is really helpful. That doesn't mean sit in the emotion and brood for a week. This doesn't mean, you know, have like a rage fit and yell at all your coworkers. This doesn't mean cry at the drop of a hat when it's inappropriate. This means express what's coming up without judging yourself. Let yourself move through that emotion and then return back to the state. Ask the questions. Where did it come from? Why am I feeling this now? Why am I having this judgment maybe that's coming up towards this emotion? Where is that coming from? My parents? Me? And then sitting with it and just saying, this is valid. Whatever I'm feeling right now is valid. And then it loses its charge. And this really, you'll see this happening when you develop a meditation practice. And when the emotion loses its charge, it no longer has its power over you. And now you have the control over the situation and you're no longer quote unquote triggered. So when you start to spiritually wake up, there's this real development of your emotional intelligence that, you know, for some of us, if you didn't have a traumatic upbringing, that might be already strongly developed. But if you did have a traumatic upbringing, which I think 1 in 4 Americans, I think, is the statistic, do have extreme trauma, then this might be a newer thing for you. And just know also, don't get hard on yourself according to your age. A big thing, you know, that I went through was like, oh my gosh, I'm 30 years old at the time when everything was happening. And now I'm starting to finally be able to cry. It doesn't matter if you're 50, it doesn't matter if you're 60, it doesn't matter whatever age it is, that's exactly when you're ready for it. And as long as you're doing that work, that's all that matters, because then you can bring your whole healed, integrated self into the world. So let the tears flow, let the emotions go, and sit with them without judgment, know that they're valid, and then let them lose their charge. And then from there, you with neutrality can look at your situation for the reality that it is. So 9, you find yourself drawn to inspiration and personal development. So you really just simply just start following the things that bring you joy. You're less concerned about what everybody else thinks, and you just start doing the things that make you happy and following maybe new hobbies or exploring books or whatever, like new relationships with people that bring you joy. You're probably going to find yourself in the self-help section or watching a lot of YouTube videos on new topics. Because a lot of times when we start to do this work, it can be really taxing. And it can be a little easier when you do a self-help workshop or book, and they give you some tools as to how to do that work with a little more proficiency and ease. So you'll probably find yourself really getting into that. A lot of Brené Brown, a lot of Tony Robbins, Louise Hay. Whatever it piques your interest. Talks on YouTube from swamis, metaphysicists, whatever is piquing your interest, you'll find yourself going there. 10 is increased self-talk or increased communication with the spirit within or with God. So whether you believe in God or not, or you believe in a higher power, or you can call it the universe, or you can, there's many different ways to put it, or your higher self or your soul, you really start to develop a relationship with yourself in that way. Prayer becomes part of your life. And I'm not religious, but I mean like communicating with a higher power. That's all I really mean. You're very conscious of the conversations in your head. You're very aware of how you're talking to yourself, how you're treating yourself. And there's this aspect of surrender, because everybody really does come to this point where they realize, I don't know it all, and I'm really lost, and I need help. And so you surrender, and you ask that higher power, or your guides, your spirit guides, or angels, or whatever deity you believe in, for help. And it comes through. It comes through in different ways. So you'll find that you now develop this new relationship to God, to your highest self, a higher power. And it's very profound, because it will never leave you. You will always have that. And this is the journey towards self-love. It starts with just being in communication with yourself. So 11 is the sudden urge to meditate. So that really does happen. Like, there's a point where you want stillness. You want silence. You want to start controlling your mind, because you don't want to be controlled by it anymore. And that's when meditation comes in. You're sick and tired of hearing the crazy thoughts in your head telling you can't do things, or the fearful thoughts. You don't want to be controlled by everything that just comes in your mind. And you really want to deepen that connection with yourself, to deepen that connection to source or to God. And that's when meditation comes in. One of my favorite quotes is, prayer is asking, meditation is listening. And so you really will start to feel this urge, this want to meditate. And in the beginning, it's always hard. If you've never meditated before, know that it's hard in the beginning. Like, unless you're a very advanced soul, you come in and you're just like peaceful, and you're probably this, like, if you're a monk or a swami, you know, you just at age 11, you sit down and you can like meditate for an hour. That's a very rare exception for most of us, and especially most of us living in the Western world where we have all these distractions around us as compared to certain Eastern countries or third world countries. Meditating can be a really challenging feat. And so no matter how much you want to, the enthusiasm for it is the big part. So that really starts to naturally happen for you. Number 12, feeling and believing in oneness and that all life is sacred. So another way of saying this is really it's you gain this amplified sense of compassion, or your heart chakra just fully opens and you feel unity with all. You see others as yourself. And I'm not saying only other human beings. You see animals with the same amount of compassion that you see for yourself. You see the spirit or the spark within another. Doesn't matter what they look like or where they're from or what color of skin anyone has or if they're a human or if they're not, if they're animals or whatever. And you see that spirit within them. And this really leads to an amplified compassion for every single person on the planet. When this starts to happen, you do not and would not be able to harm another being, whether it's through your words, through your actions, and not just humans, but animals. You really see the oneness and the intricate connection between all life on this planet, how every single thing affects everything else, and your heart opens. Your heart opens in a different way where you see everyone else as your family, and it's a really powerful thing when that happens. Number 13, you start creating your own belief systems. You stop following the crowd and the societal norms that you're told to follow. One of my favorite guests that I've interviewed that will be on in a very soon future episode is Joe Martino. He runs an alternative news media company called Collective Evolution. And they talk a lot about where this all comes from, because we never really question, why am I following the authority of others? Why am I giving my power away and believing the lie that I can't govern myself properly, and that humans and other humans on the planet wouldn't be able to live in a cohesive world if they were governing themselves as well? He starts to really bring to light where all these societal constructs come from. And honestly, it can be a little bit dark if you've never heard of who runs the world, the control systems that they've placed on the planet, the social engineering that happens through mind control systems like mainstream media, like Hollywood movies, like the music industry, and how that affects us. And then the social engineering that happens where we even start to check ourselves, meaning if we're so programmed to believe something that if someone steps out of that box, everyone else will attack them. A good example is if you believe that there's life on other planets, and I can't imagine not believing that and thinking that we're the only people in the entire galaxy, and you say that and you say, I believe that there's life on other planets, the people still stuck in the matrix, the people still following the societal programming are told anybody that believes this is crazy. So then their trigger flag goes up and they're like, oh, that person's just nuts. They don't even have the open-mindedness to consider, maybe there's truth to this. Maybe I should question it, because they've been socially programmed to respond anytime that they hear that someone believes that there's life on other planets, that they're wrong, they're crazy, and you're going to be looked at as crazy too if you even think of touching that idea. So that's just a small example of that. And Collective Evolution does a lot of really good work on that, diving into the origin of these control systems and these beliefs and where they come from and why they're there and who's doing that and what's their ultimate goal behind doing all that. His episode will come up, I think, within the next 2 or 3 episodes. So it's a great interview to listen to. But once you really start diving into that, then you start forming your own beliefs. You're like, no, I don't feel like I need to follow this belief that I've been told since I was a little kid. And maybe it's not just your own belief from society. Maybe it's from religion. Maybe it's from your parents. it doesn't matter where it's from, but you really start to live life according to your own terms. And it is so liberating because then you're just acting in accordance with your own truth. You don't feel any internal conflict. You don't feel like you need to modify your behavior to seek the validation or approval of others. And you really start living your life in this beautiful, free way. So number 14, well, I kind of just talked about it, but it's enhanced authenticity. So that comes as a result of living in alignment with your truth and making the decisions on a daily basis when you're faced with, should I do what I believe in and I know is right to me and fits my truth, or should I follow the crowd? And that could be just in a conversation when someone talks about something that you disagree with. And do you keep mum or do you speak up? That can come from the things that you buy, the choices that you make, the actions that you take, the people you decide to hang out with or not. When you start to wake up, living in accordance with your own beliefs and your own truth starts to become a non-negotiable, and you become an extremely authentic human being. And you feel genuine freedom from the confines of living in accordance with how other people want you to live. It's amazing. And a lot of us are there. And I really hope that a lot more of us start to wake up and move in that direction. Number 15, physical manifestations start to occur. So thoughts are things. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but really, like, a thought is like a missile. And even though you can't physically see it, and those that can see energy can see it, but it creates a ripple into the universe, the fabric of where we live. And when you keep focusing on something, and it's not just thinking, but with emotion and intention and intense emotion, it is exactly the same thing as sending out a missile. When you start to get more clear, you up-level your frequency, you've become more of a clear channel, your thoughts don't have as much cloudy, murky waters to go through because you're a clear channel. And so things that you think about start to manifest a lot more quickly. It's like, it's mind-blowing. If you're not in this stage yet, please email me when it happens because it's really amazing. It's, you understand how much you have to guard and watch your thoughts, because if you're thinking of a negative outcome, it happens. If you think of a positive outcome, it happens. If you're thinking of a particular situation that you'd like to occur, it happens. And if you're unconsciously thinking of a situation that you don't want to occur, that happens too. And it happens and it physically manifests. And you may realize, wow, I actually didn't even take much action to lead to this consequence, but it's been all in my thoughts. So your thoughts really start to manifest a lot more quickly when you start to wake up. And then you really have the awareness and knowledge that, oh, I should really be mindful of what I'm thinking on the daily. And lastly is a desire for a like-minded community. When you start to up-level and wake up, you don't like the superficial stuff anymore. And you really want to be around people that feel the same way and that act in accordance with who they are and that aren't fake and that are really just truly living their life, that have a focus on spirituality. And by that, I mean on their connection to themselves, to their spirit, to God. And you want to be able to talk like this with people. It's so nice when you have friends that you can just have these conversations with. And, or, you know, if you get your parents on board, it's so liberating because then everybody starts to evolve because everyone's putting their input in. And the level of growth happens so much more quickly when we have a community of like-minded people as opposed to when you're doing it alone. It's a lot harder on your own. So that tends to be one of the signs. That's when you're in the butterfly phase. You're no longer in the cocoon. You're a butterfly. And now you want to find a whole bunch of other butterflies and create your own little community. So those are some signs that you're going through a spiritual awakening. Some of the phases or the stages of it, I'll just go through this quickly so you can kind of gauge where you're at, is number one, it's usually like the trauma that happens or the loss, or it can be softer than that. It can be just the unhappiness with how your day is going or how your daily routine is. Or maybe it's just feeling lost in your life or unfulfilled in your career. That's usually the beginning, because then you're like, okay, I got to change this. Number two is you start to really ask the harder questions and look for answers and look for meaning in everything. And that's when, you know, we talked about that earlier, when you start to see the signs, the synchronicities, your intuition increases, you do the shadow work. That's stage three, is the deep inner work. That's the hardest one. If you're climbing up a mountain, this is towards the peak where there's little to no oxygen and you're on almost no fuel. That's stage three. That's the hard part. Looking at yourself, doing the inner work, asking yourself the harder questions. That's when you're in the thick of it and it feels like everything else around you is crumbling, but really know that you're about to break through. Stage four tends to be that you're finding the answers to these deeper questions and you're experiencing breakthroughs and you're creating your own new belief systems and you're living your life differently. Stage five is when your perspective has truly shifted now and you have a broader perspective on life. And there's this sense of neutrality that happens where you're not as emotionally triggered anymore. You've worked through that. You see the situation for really what it is and not just through your subjective lens. You start to develop more of a witness consciousness or an objective view of what is happening. And it's really nice when you can do that. And especially in a situation that used to trigger you, that's when you know that you've evolved or you've mastered that soul lesson in a way. And the last stage tends to be just integration. You go back into the world, like I was talking about Neo and the Matrix in the beginning, and you go back into the Matrix, you go back into the world, but you're a new person. You're an empowered human being who is totally authentic with themselves, and it makes you happy. That is where the expansion happens, the growth happens, and that is where you can feel the true joy and happiness of living life. It doesn't come from material things. It's not going to fade. It's not transient. That genuinely comes from living in alignment with your truth. And that tends to be when you know that this awakening phase or the healing cycle is complete. So I hope that this was helpful for you. I would love to hear about your journey and your awakening story. And if you have any questions too, I'd love for this to be interactive. So don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast. This is what really will start to create change. It's bringing these conversations into new hands so that you can start to open their mind to what's going on in your life and also kind of prepare them for what to expect when they awaken, because a lot of us are going to awaken whether we like it or not. And look forward to the episodes coming up, because I have some really amazing people on the show and every conversation that I've had has been so eye-opening and enlightening. So thank you for joining me today. You can follow the show on Instagram at Soul Awakening Podcast so we can stay in touch. I also post these episodes on the website page on soulawakeningpodcast.com and on a blog, so you can leave comments and share your experience or ask questions or share anything that really came up for you. And then please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show so you'll receive the updates on when new episodes are released. So again, thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you on the next episode.